Hi, I'm Charlie, and this is Stereo Hysteria. Our May Artists of the Month, Golden Shoulders, are a band from Nevada City, California, led by Adam Klein, whose superb songs are brought to life by an ever-evolving lineup of musical talent. This broad range of different players allows the band's records to cover a lot of stylistic ground, while keeping the focus on Adam's fine melodies and thoughtful lyrics. It also gives their live performances an unpredictable element, which can encompass anything from a traditional rock show to concerts performed sans electricity in bookstores or living rooms. I spoke with Adam via telephone last month, and we'll be hearing bits of our conversation over the next hour. But we'll start things off with the lead-off track from the 2006 EP, Kin, called Friends and Family.
All my friends and my family are remarkable people. They are nothing like the creeps in this town. There is time still ahead of me. The last among equals, I am keeping both my ears to the ground. That I have earned the town and state that I am in. I cannot leave, my feet will stop me from stepping. I kiss the ground, but I don't know where it has been. Oh no, there are reasons, but I can't explain. Well, I can, but not to you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my home.
That's Nevada City?
Nevada City, California, yes, sir.
Excellent.
You always have to say California afterwards because people make assumptions.
That's actually in Nevada State?
They think it is.
And that implies some lawless territory.
That's exactly right. It's a Kansas City, Missouri kind of situation that I'm dealing with here.
What's your musical background? When did you first get interested in listening to or making music?
Listening to, I think, like most people, I've always liked music. My parents started me kind of slow on the good stuff, but I have a fond memory of a trip to Idaho that my brother and I took with my dad, and essentially, when we left our hometown, we bought Please Please Me on cassette, the first Beatles album, and then we just listened to that over and over again for hours until we got to some other town that had some place to buy music, and we bought the next Beatles album, and we did that all the way up to Idaho, and it was a phenomenal education.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Was this all chronological?
Yeah, we kept it chronological, so we got to the heavy stuff towards the end as we were rolling in the potato country. Playing music, I was a real late bloomer. Compared to my friends who play music, I was a late bloomer. A lot of those guys were taking lessons when they were little. I took piano lessons, but they didn't stick. But I started playing really rough guitar when I was in, let's say, late high school, like senior year. I started going about the, you know, process of learning chords and things. So real late bloomer as far as that goes. All the guys I play with had been playing for, you know, a decade by then at least.
You're left-handed, right?
I'm a left-handed person, yes I am.
Did that have anything to do with it? Is it, like, harder to find left-handed guitars? Or?
Well, that didn't occur to me as a problem. I just didn't get around to to learning to play music for a long time. When I did, I decided I didn't want to be the left-handed guitarist guy who has to restring every guitar he plays or anything like that. So I played kind of backwards and upside down. I play a right-handed guitar strung for a right-handed person, but I just, well, you can probably see on YouTube or something how I do it. It's, I think other people have done it. I'm not sure who.
I'm in a band with a songwriter named Randy Russo who plays in a similar fashion.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. Great minds. yeah, that's just how I learned. So there's some chords that I find trickier that I think a right-handed guitarist playing a right-handed guitar wouldn't find the least bit tricky, but it's my lot in life. I can play my songs pretty good, but I don't cover songs too often just because I'm going uphill with that particular handicap. But my songs sound okay, I guess.
From the 2005 EP, B-17, here's an acoustic version of A Short and Fleeting Thing.
Don't leave me here on my back. You make my blue day fade to black. Or lose all feeling. If life's a short and fleeting thing, I will not spend it threatening all those who search for meaning. Don't call it a philosophy. I think it obscene. It's called something philosophy when you don't know what it means. No, I'm not trying to change your mind and make you search and maybe find some higher calling. It's just so sad to know you think the world goes dark when you blink and bruises when you're brawling.
The first time I became aware of your music was with the band The Gears,
right.
who uploaded some songs on mp3.com that I found as a fledgling
so
adolescent.
Ago. Yeah.
And that definitely has that early Beatles quality to it.
Yeah, that was a very deliberate attempt to sort of to bridge the gap between early Beatles and early Violent Femmes.
Mm-hmm.
Those were two particular sounds that I liked a lot at that time. I still like them. It was pretty beautiful. Yes, we just tried to really bridge that gap, and very, very deliberately, we didn't color outside those lines, really. But that was a fun band to be in. I like those guys.
Was that the first band that you were a part of?
Oh no! In high school, I was in a band called Batical Turbo Radness.
Come again?
Batical Turbo Radness.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's what we were going for with that name. Very enthusiastic sort of name. And that was, that we had real dopey songs and everything, but it was a good fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of after we got, you know, all left high school and people started moving away to go to college and stuff, we called it quits on that one. And then The Gears was, you know, me and two other guys who were left, who basically didn't go away for school. And then the drummer eventually went away to school, and then The Gears broke up at that point.
Here's the lead-off track from The Gears' only full-length release, 1999's Today and Tomorrow, called Table for Two.
Baby bird, I think you're dropping hints again. That's a smile I haven't seen since way back when. Do you really, really think you know me well? Baby bird, is there something on your mind? Go ahead and say, I'll be so kind. I won't laugh as you stutter out my name. It's a table for two, and I'm talking to a girl I haven't seen in over a year. never thought of you that way. You might change my mind, watch what you say. You just spilled your tea on me, but I don't mind. It's a table for two, and I'm talking to a girl I haven't seen in over a year. Ba 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 ba, do 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 do, ba 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 ba.
Is that when you decided to start up Golden Shoulders?
Yeah, I did. At that point it was very deliberate, like, well, I'm tired of people moving away, so bands have to break up, so this is just going to be, I'm going to call my music Golden Shoulders, and then whoever's playing with me at any particular time, that's the band.
Did you ever consider doing just a solo act like Adam Klein?
No, I'm not very good, so that would be a bad idea. I surround myself with really good musicians, and then it tricks people into thinking I'm any good at all. So that's my plan. Please do not tell anybody that. It's a big secret.
I'll cut that right out of the podcast.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
On the Golden Shoulders website, there's a list of all the collaborators who have been part of the band or who have contributed to the recordings, and it's like 60 musicians in total.
Is that how many there are right now?
I mean, I'm not too good at math.
I believe it. That seems about right. Could be.
Do you think of there being like a core lineup, or is it just a sprawling collective?
At different times, there have been particular years where you will most likely see me with the same three or four guys, but that's not, it's not hard and fast at all. It's just whoever I can get at a particular time. Todd Roper, who drummed on our first and second records, and then I hadn't played with for a very long time, just the most recent show we played in San Francisco, Todd was drumming with us. It's people kind of come and go based on availability and scheduling and where they happen to live at any given time. You know, it's a list of 60 or so very, very talented people. So I've got what they call a deep bench in the world of sports, or so I'm told, by people who follow the world of sports. So I'm very fortunate in that. It could be just about anyone playing with me at a particular show or on a particular recording. But they're all very good.
I will concur with that. One of the musicians who's contributed to a couple of your recordings is Joanna Newsom, who's now, of course, very well known in her own right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was on your records before she was a known solo artist, right?
Yeah, we shared an apartment together, and we were writing songs at the same time, so there were particular songs on the first record in particular that I wrote with her in mind for singing with me in her particular piano style. So that was how that worked out. When we would play shows together, just the audience reaction to her, I was confident that she was going to do very well for herself.
From Golden Shoulders' debut album, 2002's Let My Burden Be, here's a song that features Adam and Joanna harmonizing beautifully, called The Honey, The Power, The Light.
The honey, the power, the light, they all blind me, leave no stone unturned. You still never find me, the rock that I hide in will never crack. Open the sharpened yard chisel. If you think I'm joking, I cannot be swayed and I will not be quiet. Tell the fat cats and big wigs to go on a diet. They're taking up space that has better uses. So let's jump the tracks and unhitch their cabooses. They're making it clear they don't get my vibe. So publish solutions and I will subscribe and contribute page after page of my theories, which I will type out till my fingers grow weary. My arms, they are shaking right up to my neck. I was a good job, paid off a bad check, and counterfeit cash. was a lot younger than me. The kids, they did not want to grow old and stupid, but that's what they got for ignoring Cupid. His arrows went flying, he shot at them all, but his aim was so poor, he punctured the wall. Well, what happened, I'll tell you, the brain killed the heart, and so his solutions were passed off as art. They're churning out robots and marching machines who go and write stories for Mods magazines. Yeah, with pages paid off by corporate sponsors who came in like champions and ended up monsters. When angels and guardians finally desert me, the cops and the crooks will team up just to hurt me. I cannot be swayed to the laugh of frustration of punching in walls when I'd rather punch nations. To never stop fighting means not knowing victory. So give me blank books to fill up with history. There's more to belief than just spouting something. I wait for the Bigfoot to descend and crush them. I'm just a lone bottle afloat with the notion that there's some meaning in this bottle ocean. My tide will come in if you'll hear it knocking above all the roar of this meaningless talking. Attempts to invent a whole new way to fight will fall through the honey and power and light.
First album, Let My Burden Be, it's kind of in company with The Doors' Waiting for the Sun and Led Zeppelin's Houses of the Holy, in that it's an album whose title track isn't on the album.
All right. Good catch.
But the song Let My Burden Be has since appeared in a variety of different arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you chosen that song to return to a couple times, and is there a version you feel is definitive?
Wow. That one... When I made the second album, Friendship is Deep, the person working at the record label said, we want you to make one more song for this album, and can you make it really stripped down and homemade sounding, and we want to put it at the end. And I thought, well, that's an interesting challenge. And so since I had the title of the first album lying around, and I thought, well, I never wrote a song with that title, and it's a fine title, I wrote it and did a homemade recording, and then the label went, you know what, never mind, we're okay, we're just going to put this out without that. And I went, oh, well, all right. But I liked the song that I had come up with, and so the song Let My Burden Be first appeared on a compilation called Bro Zone for States Rights Records, and that was me and Neil, and then I think there's actual Dan Elkin, I think, is on that, and Dave Brockman played drums on it. Anyway, we did that in the studio, and I like that version very, very much. And then on the most recent album, Get Reasonable, we kind of did a dancier, almost like Orange Juicy version of that song. They're pretty different, but all the words are the same, and parts of the melodies, I guess, match up. I wouldn't say there's a particular one that's definitive. I'd say whichever one's your favorite, that's going to be the definitive one for you. I'm not going to judge you for that.
It's very diplomatic.
Yeah, well, I'm an okay guy.
From the Brozone compilation, here's the original version of Let My Burden Be.
Because I was on the other hand, intact, they cracked, then a broken man, now a broken man. But I tripped myself intentionally. Let my burden be broken, 'cause I solid ground. Came back and with that I stopped falling down. No, 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 I stopped falling down. I stopped falling down. I just stopped falling down.
The second album, Friendship is Deep, came out in 2004, and listening to that now, in retrospect, it kind of sounds like an album released during an election year.
Yep.
Was that also conscious, like writing songs with a more political bent?
Yeah, I consider myself a political person, and so I get fired up around those times. When the elections come through, I tend to, I guess, be accidentally inspired by it. It's a problem for me because I find, in retrospect, when I listen back to some of those songs, I'm like, no one wants to hear about this anymore. So hopefully some of those songs hold up, but I don't think all of them do. It's something I need to work on. I probably need to relax over that stuff.
Is there anything in particular that you think stands the test of time?
That does stand the test of time, of the political ones?
I thought The Committee held up very nicely.
Yeah, that one's pretty fun. I don't even know, I'm trying to remember, I don't know if that was written about something specific in the world of politics. I think maybe that was just me being whiny, but I'm glad you liked that one. I wanted it to be, it lyrically makes no sense, but I wanted it to become a, you know, sports anthem that was played in stadiums. Never happened, never worked out that way, but there's still time.
There is still time, but
sports still exists, Charlie.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah, I hear the same thing.
We will tell you what to say.
Our way of life must be preserved for those of us with the nerve to never ask why things must be and never doubt the committee. Dissent must be dealt with quick. The business end of a brick is just the thing in the event. A busy mind needs punishment.
Scheduling talks for short appears and long.
another recurring theme in some of your albums is songs with the word golden in the title. Like Golden yeah. States, Golden Soldiers, Golden Rules. Was it conscious to try and write golden songs to pair with the band name? Or did it just kind of happen naturally?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. Yeah, I think after the first album had Golden Arms on it, and I think I probably could have just put a golden body part song on every album, but then Golden Soldiers occurred to me one night, and I thought, well, that's pretty nice. And then once you've done it on two albums, you sort of have to do it on everyone, right? It becomes a reoccurring theme. So I'm writing songs right now for the next album, and you know, I've got a couple of titles in mind that could be the golden songs on that particular one, but I don't know yet which one I'm going to go with. But if I write more than one, I guess it means I have to make more albums.
I wouldn't complain about that.
Okay, we'll see what I can do.
From the band's most recent album, 2009's Get Reasonable, here's a song called Golden States.
Presenting the choice that is forced to either be unwashed or gray. As the will grow bitter and old or remain in these golden states. Presenting the choice that is forced to either be unwashed or gray. As the will grow bitter and old or remain in these golden states. Yeah, remember where you come from, how we got where we are now. By doing what we had to for as long as time allowed. It's not a question of succession or whose coattails got nailed down. We're the latest in a long line of lucky little towns. Just the latest in a long line of lucky little towns. Just the latest in a long line of lucky little towns.
What is your songwriting process like? Do you have a specific regimen that you do? Like, do you sit yourself down and try to write, or do you just let things come to you?
Lately, my process has been centered mainly around procrastination.
Okay.
Watching, binge watching, you might even say, streaming video content, or sleeping, or reading comic books. But when I actually manage to write something, sometimes I'll be driving or walking around and a line will occur to me. I'll go, well, that's a good line. And then hopefully I'll be able to write a song around this very good line, and the other lines in the song will hopefully be somewhat as good as that, so it doesn't seem like, well, this is a terrible song with one good line. And then other times I'll just have the guitar out and work on melodies, and I'll get some melody that sounds nice to me and then start to figure out what I can plug into it. It varies, really. There's been no steady formula for me. Sometimes I'm feeling wordy, and sometimes I'm feeling toony, and hopefully it meets up in a nice way eventually.
When you look back on the songs that you've written, are there any that stand out as favorites of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. I can listen to the old albums and hear songs where I don't think we quite nailed it, and then I can listen to ones where I'm exceedingly proud and, you know, probably too proud, but where I think, man, if I wasn't in this band, I would like this band. I Will Light You on Fire is the first song on our second album. People have responded very well to that, and I remember while we were recording it, being very proud in that moment, like, this one turned out okay. Mm-hmm. Golden States is a song that my friend Dan Elkin produced, and it's on Get Reasonable, and it doesn't sound anything like anything we've done, certainly. I can't even think of another song by anyone else that sounds anything like it. I think it's got a very unusual, interesting sound. That's all thanks to Dan.
Okay.
And I'm proud of the lyrics and everything for that one as well. There's several. Golden Soldiers, I think, has a nice pace to it. Yeah. Yeah. I like that band.
Here's the first track on 2004's Friendship is Deep, the aforementioned I Will Light You on Fire.
I
So when you are binge-watching Netflix, what's in the queue?
Well, I have fond feelings for the recent Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt program.
I hear good things.
I made it through the long slog of season 3 of House of Cards. Pretty rough, Charlie. I've started the Daredevil program. Seems a little dark for me. I'm an upbeat kind of fella, but, you know, we'll see where it ends up. I'm going to see it through. New season of Bluey just showed up. Really,
oh,
Charlie,
excellent.
We could talk all day about the good stuff.
Evidently, my Netflix has deduced my sweet spot is British comedies about neurotic people.
Aren't all British comedies, by their very nature, Charlie, about neurotic people?
Touché.
Yeah, Netflix has figured you out, huh? Now, Charlie, let me ask you this. Have you tried the show Black Mirror? Because I hear it's good, but I haven't watched it yet.
I also hear that it is good and have not watched it yet. It's one of those 90-minute...
Oh, are they long episodes, like Sherlock or something?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I've heard only good things, so that's probably coming up for me soon.
Yeah, we'll have to compare notes on the dystopia.
I think there's going to be a loud outcry demanding a future podcast where the two of us talk about our Black Mirror experience.
You heard it here first. You've mentioned a couple times some of the musicians who are fellow residents of Nevada City. Do you think something about that particular location inspires creativity?
I would say if you just look at the talent that has come out of the town, Joanna being a real great example, it's almost not fair to start any list with Joanna because no one else can really come close. I'm a fan of my friend, I'll just tell you. But Bobby Birdman is someone that you should listen to, and he's from here, and Hunter Bergen is a great bass player. He plays all kinds of instruments. There's just a lot of really talented people from here, and then that brings people from out of town into town. There's a great band called the Moore Brothers that I originally met, I think, when they lived in Berkeley, and now they live in town.
Okay.
There's a lot of talent around here, whether it's was born and raised here or has been imported. And I think it's sort of self-perpetuating, where people look to it as a place where this sort of thing is happening and they want to be there. And then the kids coming up have to clear a bar almost like, well, you better be good. You're from Nevada City, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Ross is from Nevada City. I don't know if you've heard Aaron Ross, but he's very good, and he's from here. There's a lot of that. I remember when we were playing in the band in high school, there was another band that was doing very well, and we sort of have to be like, well, their new songs are very good, so we need to step it up a little bit. And then we'd step it up a little bit, and then the next time they saw us, they'd go, well, they stepped it up a little bit, we better. And it went back and forth like that. I think it's sort of a healthy, friendly competition almost. Competition sounds like too negative a word. Anyway, yeah, there's some good bands.
Of which Golden Shoulders is happily in the tradition.
Oh, Charlie, you're just being way too sweet to me. Come on.
Here's a highlight from 2009's Get Reasonable called Unconcerned Is Not Impressive Anymore.
Half the time you're not awake, and half the time you're sleeping. If you're obstructed by your lids. Meanwhile, unobserved by you and yours, they'll come by thousands. Unconcerned's not impressive anymore. This is your last chance. There'll be no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. Planting bad seeds in bad soil and selling us the fruit gone. We won't fall for that again. Ooh. Living underground, they're safe way down in their bunkers and only happy counting down from 10.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Unconcerned's not impressive anymore. This is your last chance. There'll be no more, no more, no more, no more. No more, no more, no more, no more. They were born to play the disloyal opposition. There's no bad news.
they misunderstand is that they sincerely don't want to understand.
The most recent album was Get Reasonable. It seems like that has a slightly more polished sound than the previous records.
I think that may be so. We recorded it with the Dana Gumbiner, same guy who did Friendship is Deep, and he worked a little bit on the first album. I think it's possible that Dana and all the musicians had maybe just got more comfortable in the studio. Do you think it sounds polished in a good way, or do you think it's too slick and we blew it?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that you're a sellout by any means.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
But the previous albums do have more of an acoustic backbone.
And I get you.
As you said about the Let My Burden Be, there's some tracks that are almost dance floor hits.
Yeah, I think I really try to do or not repeat myself too much musically. I find I do it way too much lyrically, so I try to just not do it musically, and so hopefully people won't notice so much. That wasn't conscious to make something slicker in particular. I think I've made up for that with some of the weirder, more homemade little EPs we've put out in the time since, but I like that record a lot. But yeah, I do think we probably in some way sound confident, some may say overconfident, with the studio on that one.
What does 2015 hold for Golden Shoulders? You mentioned that you were working on some new material.
Yeah, I'm working on songs, and I don't think there's any chance we'll have a new album by the end of the year, but I think it's possible we would start recording by the end of the year, depending on if my Netflix service gets cut off or not. But it could very well happen that we would see an album next year. I really hope so anyway, because it's harder and harder to tour now that My right-hand man and best friend in the world, Brett Shady, he's the one who usually goes on these tours with me. He's recently become a father, and that makes it harder for him to get out on the road. Mm-hmm. Basically, as we're all aging, more important things than my dumb little band come up and make it more difficult to work on this thing. But, hopefully 2016 I'll have an album and we'll tour on it, and people will think it's okay. Let's think positive thoughts, Charles.
I'm sending positive thoughts out west.
Thank you very much.
Here's a track from the band's most recent release, the 2013 EP, Music Friends, called Darling.
It hurts to wait just a little while, darling, like a moment or two. It's true, darling, I would wait a long time for you. I may stumble, I'm just a man, darling, but this man, he needs you. It's true, darling, I would wait a long time for you. Darling, I'm certain this hurting's not in vain. Just reassure me I won't regret the pain. Oh, I would wait a long time for you. Mm-hmm. admired you so many ways,
God, you
more than you ever knew. It's true, darling, I would wait a long time for you. Darling, I'm certain this hurting's not in vain. Just reassure me I won't regret the pain. Oh, I have waited a long time. We've been fated a long, lonesome time. I would wait a long time for you and I before I die. It's my one request and my sole reward for a life of loneliness. So I would wait a long time for you. I would wait a long time for you.
I've never seen you play live, but from reading about your live shows, it sounds like you... Oh, what's the best way to put it? You seek ways to heighten the intimacy of your live performances.
That's one way to put it. Where do you live, Charlie?
Just outside of Chicago.
Oh my goodness, how come you haven't seen us play live? We go to Chicago all the time.
Either my band has been playing or I'm just horribly out of the loop. No pun intended.
It's a sad, sad story, Charlie. And I get your Chicago pun because that's how often I visit that place. Yeah, it's really about... How close to Nevada City you live will almost determine what kind of Golden Shoulders you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more likely to play in a loud rock band format with drums and electric guitars if I'm playing close to home, because that's where the people who play that kind of music with me live. And then the farther out we go, it becomes more expensive to travel and so forth, so we tend to strip it down and it'll be me and one or two other guys, or people who live in areas. There's a great trumpet player in Chicago named Jabron Lockhart. He played a show with us there. Chris Plum lives outside of Detroit in Plymouth, Michigan. There's a young man named K.R. Azad, who I believe is currently in Lawrence, Kansas, but used to live in Manhattan, Kansas. He's played with us. He plays violin. So if we're in a town where there are people who know the songs and can play with us, then we'll add them to it. But generally, when we tour outside of California, it's going to be an unamplified, very intimate sort of thing. Living rooms are almost the best sort of room for it. We do a lot of house shows. We play in bookstores and just unusual places like that. It does not work in a bar.
Are you planning on coming back to Chicago at any point?
You know, I am. I think it was last year, because Brett was unable to go out on tour, I ended up just flying out. I flew to Detroit and practiced for a few days with Chris Plum, and we did a show in Plymouth, and then drove to Chicago and played a show in Chicago. Then I flew home. That was fun. But so if I'm not going to be touring in the fall, hopefully at least I would do something like that again,
mm-hmm.
where I got to just go to the middle of the country for a few days and play a couple of shows. Really, really sweet people in Plymouth, really sweet people in Chicago. It's as much about playing the shows and playing the songs as it is about just seeing faces that I don't get to see otherwise, because California is inconveniently far away from the Midwest.
It's still a coast that I haven't made it to.
Oh, you gotta come see Nope, I can't think of anything.
Come on, it's your hometown, you gotta rep.
I feel like there might be natural beauty and fine restaurants, fine dining, is that, yeah. You gotta see these things. You gotta make it out, Charlie. Well, you should. I have enjoyed, I remember before I ever went on tour, I think I was probably in some way snobby about certain parts of the country, and then you get there and the people are as sweet as can be and you go, oh, I was a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just travel in general, California is my home state and I love it to pieces, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I love my hometown, but I'd just say, Charlie, get out and see some world.
Yeah, that's one of the better parts of being an itinerant musician, being able to travel and legitimizing it as... Well, I'm a musician on the road.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There, I've seen beautiful places that I would never have seen otherwise. Charlie, have you ever been to Gunnison, Colorado?
I haven't.
Best sandwiches in the United States, Charlie, I checked.
You've eaten every sandwich in every place in the U.S.?
I don't judge your lifestyle, Charlie. I should say the place in Gunnison with the sandwiches is called the Firebrand, so you don't get to Gunnison and then go to the Subway and say, these just taste like the ones I got back home. It's a regional, a local place, you see, Charlie.
Here's a track that Golden Shoulders contributed to Family Album, a 2006 compilation by Nevada City's own grassroots record company, called What You're Proposing.
It is time to take a side, then it's time for me to hide. I am neutral and that's frowned on where I'm from. Do you not know wrong from right? Light or right, don't pick a fight. Then there's process of elimination. And if you fought the law, they'd insist it was a draw. Meanwhile, I'd be innocent and so declare. By a jury of your peers.
Gears reunion.
It seems unlikely. The three of us have played shows and as Golden Shoulders, and we've recorded songs of just the three of us, and it was the same group of guys as the Gears. But I think that is unlikely. But still, who knows? We could live for several more years at this rate and decide let's do that. But it's gratifying to know you like that record, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, it came out when I was first learning to play guitar.
And, that was right in your wheelhouse. Their songs are so simple.
Although I was never able to get the time signature on Foolproof at the beginning.
That could have just been me not knowing how to play guitar and you trying to mimic that. I apologize from the bottom of my heart.
You set my learning back.
I'd have to hear that recording again. I don't know what to tell you, Charlie. I don't know from time signatures.
I don't hold it against you.
Thank you.
Here's the Gears with Foolproof. And any aspiring musicologist listening who can definitively glean the time signature in this introduction, feel free to post it on the Stereo Hysteria Facebook page.
I found out what I knew all along. Turns out the tastemakers were wrong. I clapped and I jumped up, I was excited. And now I'm glad that I tried it. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to stay, I saw it sitting there waiting to go. That's when it started to show. Now I'm calm and subtle as a jumping jack, and I can never go back. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to stay, if you want me to go, I'll go. Don't think I can stay away.
You'd like to plug or say before we go?
Let's see. I mean, I can't say enough nice things about Brett Shady. You should hear his two albums that he's put out. Joanna, of course, does not need me plugging her, but come on now. She's fantastic.
And now she's an actress.
She's an actress. She was great in that movie. That made me very proud. I loved the movie anyway. Would have seen it anyway, but there was my friend. The Moore Brothers, Aaron Ross. I'm going to forget people, so I should just not say anything. But there's just so much great music from my town. I'm just proud of it all the time. I feel very fortunate. I feel very fortunate. If you live in Denver, Colorado, you got to go see Por Lolo. That's one of the best bands that Brett and I encountered on our tours ever. Just mind-blowing. Love her songwriting. Yeah, I'm Adam from Golden Shoulders. There you go.
And that's all the time we have for this week. I'd like to thank Adam again for his time. And if you'd like more information about the band, be sure to check out their official website at goldenshoulders.com. Be sure to tune in again next week when our topic will be golden songs. This is Charlie, signing off.